we serve. We, the reading scripture, the beginning scripture tonight that was read was about a God, amen, who has more than just eyes and ears, more than a God that just has arms and feet, but a God who has power and life. Amen. Many people worship many things. Amen. Many people go to churches, don't know the power of God Almighty. You're thankful for the resurrection, the power of the Almighty God inside of our lives. Amen. Praise God. We're so grateful. Amen. We're so glad for our guests that is with us this evening in the house. Amen. Brother CJ, good to have you. Amen. Brought a special guest with him tonight. Charlie, your mama's here. Thank God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're glad what God's doing. I'm telling you, God's not done. But God's doing. Hallelujah. God's doing. But you got to let God be God. You got to let God have the realm of your life and the reins of your life. Amen. Amen. When we give the Lord that opportunity, how beautiful it is. Amen. Got to take your nothing and make it, amen, something. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to have all these big things. The thing you got to do is give yourself. God is one completely you. We don't get good to get God. But we sure get God to get good. Amen. I need God in my life. How about you? I need the power of God, the work of the Holy Ghost. I need the way of God. And I'm thankful tonight that we are not God's punching bag. I go to churches and all they do behind the pulpit is punch, punch, punch. Amen. Cut, cut, cut. Amen. That's not the God that I serve. I have a loving God who has power enough. When he turns a light on, he'll convince you not to go back to the pig pen. When the light is turned on, you'll love God enough to say, "Woo! I'm thankful tonight for what I got in the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. You realize what God has done for you. Amen. You start throwing things away and say, "Wow, there's a better life in Jesus Christ." Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life, the glory and the lifter of my head. I trust God. Amen. We're so thankful for the anointing of the Lord. Amen. We're excited. Amen. What God is doing in lives, in the homes of so many. We had a tremendous Tuesday, this Friendsgiving. Amen. God blessed our congregation with a multitude of people coming and dining with us and being in our facilities. Also, right before that, we had a veteran service, and it was tremendous as well. We're so thankful for every soul that has walked on this campus, and we're glad to offer them, amen, more than a little bite of turkey and dressing, but we're glad to give them an opportunity, amen, to fellowship and for them to know that there's something happening in our lives. So are you thankful? Praise God. Let me let you know this week, of course, house to house, amen, but next Sunday morning and Sunday night, Brother Mike Phillips is going to be preaching for us, amen. Then the 17th, on a Sunday morning and Sunday night, on the 17th of December, we're looking forward to having Brother Caleb Morgan. He's a young man, and many of you, when he gets here, you're going to realize and recognize him for Bible quizzing. And he was a coach, and his wife was a quizzer. And they're from Sulphur, Louisiana. They're going to be in service with us. We're so excited. Young people, we're going to have that night. Amen. Our young people, I want you to know this service is designed for those, amen, that are under 99. Amen. Under 99. Amen. We're going to have a great time in the Holy Ghost, and I want you to get to meet Brother Morgan. But I'm going to tell you, that's coming. But I'm glad that the Lord is here tonight. God's not done in this service. Amen. We can think about what's going to happen and not let what God's wanting to do tonight. Amen. I want to let God be God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Let God be God tonight." Amen. Stand with me. Amen. What an honor today to be in the house of the King of Kings. Amen. I want Brother Bolton to come. I've asked Brother Bolton to bring the word of the Lord tonight. Sister Bolton, you're welcome to come and sing as well. Amen. And whatever you feel. But I appreciate these people driving 2 hours. Hour and 15 minutes. Amen. To be in service with us. And they do this. Amen. Because they love what they feel and they appreciate the things of God. Amen. And I appreciate them very much. Amen. And Brother Bolton, this is not an opportunity just to say thank you. by letting you preach, but I felt in the Holy Ghost that you could come and you would deliver the word of the Lord. I feel there's something certain in God. Amen. That God wants to prove to you. God wants to prove to me. God wants to prove to him. God wants to prove everybody else. Amen. God has a way of doing it. And we're so thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ, the redeeming payment that God made for you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. That we could be his tonight. Are you thankful that you've been adopted? You've been chosen out of the pig pen of life and brought into his marvelous family. Praise God. I want Brother Bolton to come. Amen. God bless you, Elder, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, Elder. My, my, my. As far as I'm concerned, he could just keep going. I was enjoying it. I enjoy any time God shows up. You may be seated tonight. Appreciate God. And this was somewhat quite a surprise to me. Brother Purdy, I had one of them weekends this weekend, and I'm telling you, I've been stretched out all weekend long. And Brother Williams, I ain't 35 no more. I ain't as old as you are, but I'm not 35 anymore, and I'm telling you, this old body. And I thank God for a good son and a son-in-law, and they were helping me change the rear end out of my pickup, and I don't know if I helped myself or not, but anyway, I still done it. But anyway, we're right in the middle of it, and somewhere down there, a pastor had called, and I'd seen his text later, or his where he had called. I thought, well, I need to call him when I head home. Well, he didn't give me a chance. And I'm thinking, God, oh God, not Sunday night, God, please, God. I'm just telling you the honest truth. My body was wore out. My mind was wore out. Everything was, no, God. And I tried to tell him that, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. I did it my own way, Brother Josh. I just kind of, you know, but, he didn't take no for an answer. I thought, well, you know what? I never want to back out on God. I always want to, if God wants something, and that's the way I look at it, because I felt like undoubtedly God had something in mind and been talking to Brother Crosswhite, or else otherwise I might have just said, Pastor, let me off for a while, I'll do it again later. But I wouldn't do that because of that. I respect this man and his walk and relationship with God. Thank you, folks, for what y'all done and what you're doing. Beautiful meal on Tuesday night. We were able to be here for that. I'm telling you, what a meal that y'all have put out there. I know Sister Butler, I believe, puts it kind of somewhat together, but she don't do it by herself. I know everybody here is helping supply and being a part of, and I've seen people carrying drinks and all kind of stuff. So thank you for that tonight. And I know what's going on around here is a result of teamwork. And that's the only way it's ever going to really work, is to be teamwork. Pastor only got so much energy and so much of him. He can only be just right there. But thank God for a man that has a vision that goes beyond, and he'll let us learn on our own and become. I've already seen him not to be a demanding man, but at the same time, he does expect some things. And I'm thankful for that. He expects you to be here. He expects you to be involved. He expects you to love God and give God time. And I'm glad for that tonight. I'm going to ask my wife to sing. This is total shock. I didn't even breathe to her that I was preaching. Never mind. You ain't got time to hear all my woes. So I asked her to testify and sing.
I'm actually in the middle of changing songs. And if you're a musician, you kind of know that. You just kind of, I couldn't find my words, so I'm just going to kind of wing it. And so if it sounds like it's something you don't know and I make it up, well, it's okay. Just worship with me. But, you know, I'm like, I almost just got up and come up here to that organ. I said, nobody is on that organ. I'm like, oh, my. But, you know, God is so good, and I love what I feel here. I'm not going to call names, but last Tuesday night, I was able to tell someone, it's just like the door kind of opened, And when it kind of opened, I just used it. And I told her, I said, you know what? We've been around a lot of places. And we drive over an hour to come to this church because what we feel in this church. And I told that young lady, I said, you will never find anywhere out there what you're going to have right here in this church. And she just said, yes, ma'am. But you know, when God opens a door, you need to step in it and use that opportunity, because I feel like God is going to do something in that situation. I don't know all the situation, but I feel like there's a hunger that's been hid there. And it's not wanting to let it show, but I believe God's working. I think I'm already going to change songs. I don't know. Come only to make me strong.
through it all tonight. Oh, my God, that just kind of fits in with what I've got on my mind. I get tongue-tied and tangled and everything else, and then especially when I get in the desk of a man who preaches all over the country and accomplishes, and I'm a little bit of nobody, and so it makes me just, you know, but you know what? I love God. And if somehow or another I can become a vessel tonight to pass the word of God from my heart and my mind into your spirit, maybe you could walk out just learning just a little bit more about it. Hallelujah. Pastor, I've got messages that I could be preached at a conference. I know that words. When I put them together, I knew it would be great conferences, messages. Never had the opportunity. Don't none of them come to mind tonight. This morning in Sunday school, I thought I'd pulled a new one on my wife, even. And she, after church, she always has a way of getting me. Matthew chapter 11, if you want to start turning there with me while I'm yakking. Matthew chapter 11. But my wife writes down beside the scripture who preached the message and what the message was. And so she told me after church, said, "You preached that on October the 10th, I believe it was." I'm like, "Oh, my. All right." So, well, sugar, sweetheart, you're going to hear part of it again tonight. I was not intending to go this route. I had something else on my mind, but seemed like God just kind of began to impress me back in this direction, even with what Pastor was saying a few moments ago. I'm going to tell you something. Living for God is a learning process. And as long as you're in that process where you're supposed to be, you're perfect. As far as that goes. And that little baby back here, we got a few little babies around here. When they're crawling around, that's great and wonderful. But by the time they're 2 and 3 years old, we're expecting them to do a little bit more than crawl. But they're perfect in that crawling stage. Sometimes in church, I'm afraid some of us are a little bit behind the learning stage. We're not quite where we ought to be in God. And that can go for every last one of us, me included, I promise you. But Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to begin to read several verses of scripture, verse number 28, 29, and 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Pastor, if you wouldn't mind, pray tonight, please.
Lord, I thank you for the
Jesus, let's give him a hand clap of praise as you're seated tonight. I love you, my Lord. I love you, my Lord. I love you, my Lord. Oh, I honor you, my sweet Jesus, tonight. He's a great and a wonderful God. Just like Pastor said, well, you may be seated tonight. Like Pastor done said a while ago, sometimes some of them puts him out there as a great big puncher. But God's not a puncher. Now, and there is coming a day of judgment. We all are aware of that. But right now, it's about mercy and it's about love. And a lot of things that goes along with that. As I begin to read that scripture and it puts some things together in my mind, he says, "Come unto me." ye that are heavy laden and laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, it bothers me. I'm just saying it that way. It bothers me when I come to church and I see people so heavy burdened. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost, supposedly Holy Ghost filled people that are so heavy burdened. Y'all know Brother Coon, and Brother Coon's not going to mind me saying this, and maybe he's listening tonight, I don't know. But Brother Coon is different from anybody you'll ever meet in your life. Right, Brother Williams? But Brother Coon, he'll tell you right now, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, if I pray God heal me or take me, one or the other. It don't make me no, never mind, God, whatever you do. He's at rest in his spirit that whatever God wants to do in his life, he's happy with it. And that's a place in God that if we can ever get to that place of rest that God wants us to be in, that don't mean the sun is going to always shine. It don't mean there's not going to be some troubles and problems, but it is going to mean there's going to be still a lightness in your spirit and a little, instead of a hangdog attitude and a look, there's going to be a smile on your face. Why? Because God will take care of the problems. And it bothers me when I see the children of God so burdened down. And I understand, don't get me wrong, we're living in a world today where everything is backwards and is going crazy. And I understand every bit about that. But there's still, we as the children of God have got to... When you look back over to the Old Testament part, and I like to look in Deuteronomy sometime and begin to read, because he begins to promise this and he promises that. He says, your cows are going to be fatter, your sheep is going to have more babies, you're going to have more wool, and just on, you're going to get rain when you need it. And that's a promise in the Word of God. The only thing, there was only one little thing. They just had to walk in his precepts. That's it. All you got to do is just live according to the way I want you to. The rest of it's taken care of. Right. All you're going to have to do is go out there and open the gate and let the cows move over to that pasture over yonder, because they done grazed that one down. So you'll have a little bit to do. When you plant your seed, you can just say, God, I can't wait till the harvest. I dropped my seed. Some of us, and I can be guilty of this sometimes, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and saying, oh, God, I hope this works. But my experience is... In my experience is nothing. But I can just see old brother goes out there when it's time to start putting the seed out, and he say, here's 5 ears of corn right there off that one little old bitty. And oh man, look at that row of wheat right there. And he just goes up. Why? Because God promised it to him. He said, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, I'll take care of the rest of it. And so somehow or another, if we, and when we transfer it into our day and age, it might not, we, and some of us do. I enjoy planting the garden myself. But, you know, so we can plant those seeds. And as long as that sun shines a little bit and gets a little moisture in there, it won't be long. There's going to be a plant coming up. Man, you know, so we transfer it over into the spirit realm or the church realm or modern day, I should say, maybe. If we'll do the things that God has got us lined out to do in his word, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to take care of your needs. It said, come and lay your burdens on me. I will take care of them. But there's just one little thing right there. Ooh, and some of us are very good at laying them over on the altar. We'll come down and squall and boo-hoo, and we'll give it up and say, here it is, God, I can't do anything with it anyway. And we'll wipe our tears, and we'll smile. And as we stand up from the altar, we'll reach back and grab a hold to them again. Take us right. I understand sometimes it's hard. I understand that. Because in the morning, it's going to be Monday, and I'm looking at going to work or doing whatever it is I do on a Monday morning. I'm looking, and it's going to be the same old regimen again, God. But if somehow or another we can begin to get a hold of the Word of God that said, if you'll do your part, I'll do my part. God probably ain't going to give you a gold Cadillac this week. He probably ain't going to give you a mansion out on the hill next week. But I can guarantee you one thing. You give your heart and your life to God and stand back and watch God bless. Put your burdens over on him. And, oh, God. I tell everybody everywhere I go, on one side of my family, one of my members of my family spent time in a mental institution for a while. And the other side of the family never did spend time, but they should have, Brother Crosswhite. I'm just going to tell it the way it is. And I'm caught right in the middle of it. And I have to talk to God quite often. God, keep my mind. Help me, God. Don't let me go down that pathway. Because that pathway, you know about the only thing that stops the blessings of God. Well, a couple of things, but one of the things, and we call ourselves living for God. We doing exactly what pastor says we do. We're here for church time and here for prayer and doing everything that we're supposed to do. But we doubt the promises. We're doubting the promises. Pastor gets up and says, leave it with him. He'll take care of them. Oh, it sounds good, Pastor. It sounds so wonderful. But in the morning, it's going to be, I know it will be. But that's when you start saying, devil, you're a liar. I left it in the hands of Jesus last night. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know where it's coming from. But I want to tell you, it'll work if you'll give it to him. It bothers me when I come into the house of God and the Holy Ghost is moving and it's not my job to be looking around. So I've got my job. My duty is to worship God and I try to my best. Brother Purdy, it's a long ways around this church. From now on, you're going to start cutting that circle a little shorter, son. You about killed me a while ago. But I got my own worship and praise that I got to be involved with. I ain't got time to be watching everybody else. But sometimes you can see the load weighing down on the shoulders of a brother or a sister. And it just bugs the life out of me. Because there can be victory. There can be joy. There can be peace. There can be contentment. It takes, and I do understand positive thinking. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not knocking the books that are out there, but I'm going to tell you, they can only go so far. They can only go so far. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get a hold of that old black back book right there, and you'll start reading in there. And it says he'll take care of your needs. And you're looking at bills that needs to be paid. And you're looking at this going on. And you're looking at that situation going on. And you're saying, God, I don't see the answer. You know what? I don't see the answer lots of times. But I can tell you one thing. God will turn it around if you'll trust him. But as long as you have doubt in your spirit, spirit and says, I just can't see it happening. Throw that mess out of your mind and say, God, I'm opening up for you. I'm going to let you work in the way that you want to work. Oh, sweet Jesus today. Sweet Jesus today. Learn. Some things are a learning process in God. That's just all it is to it. It's a learning process in God. And so it takes time sometimes to get to where we need to be. Computers. I hope Pastor ain't against this. I normally don't like doing it, but anyway. It takes time. You know what? I married a little gal right back yonder. I didn't know it could take 2 hours and 15 minutes to fix a head of hair. I mean, look at mine. I had a little bit more then, brother. But I didn't have mine, you know, and I know my wife, oh, did you comb that mess? I did. You need to do it again. I know it. But it took me a while to learn that it takes time for them girls to fix their hair. And then it took me a little bit while longer to learn enough patience to put up with it. But eventually, and you know what? Rushing them don't help nothing, boys. It don't help nothing. It just makes things a little bit worse. But I did eventually learn when she's fixing her hair, stay out the bathroom or the bedroom, wherever it is she's fixing her hair. Stay out of there. Just find you something to do for a little while. It's a whole lot more comfortable that way, and life goes on like it ought to. But the scripture says, take my yoke. And of course, now we're talking about somebody here. First of all, he says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring heavy laden. So you already got a load on your back. Yeah. I mean, you already pressed down. You just stumbling along trying to get something done. And Jesus comes along and says, take my yoke on you. Really makes sense, don't it? You're going to take somebody already loaded down and load him down a little more. To our minds, we're already giving as much as we think we can possibly give. And Pastor says, Mission Sunday's next Sunday. We really need a little extra. Here he is again wanting more money. God, I ain't got enough. You know what? If you'll just take that yoke and say, God, because Pastor's asking for it, and I believe you're asking for it, here's a little bit more. If we'll take that yoke upon us, because he goes on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What we don't understand is because when we take on his yoke and we begin to do it his way, you know, they got a saying goes on in our world today, work smarter instead of harder. Brother, I'm from the old school, and I hadn't learned to be smart most time yet. I still find myself doing it the hard way most of the time. But if there's an easy way to do it, I do enjoy doing it. But take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. It's light and it's easy. But as I begin to learn to walk in the ways that God wants us to, somebody had done probably more from my understanding than anybody that I can recollect in my life. And he's been dead and gone for 50 plus years now. And that was Brother Bean. I went back and I read his books a time or two, but I spent a little money here a while back and I bought his teaching on prayer. And I began to read, and I tell you what, things begin to click in my mind. And I begin to find myself, do you know in that book, it says, command me? You can take it how you want it. I don't know how it all works sometimes. But we had been having church down there in Brooklyn for several weeks, and I felt like I'm doing my part. I got the doors open, the lights is on, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm knocking doors and touching people's lives. Nobody showed up. And me and God just had us a little talk one morning. I said, God, I'm doing my part. Now you go out there and get them and bring them in. Just a minute, a little half-ton pickup pulled up in the parking lot. Out, he jumped and come running in the house. I told him, I said, son, you're an answer to prayer. We only got him back in church one time since then, but we still working on him. Command! But you know what? I don't know how much money you got in the bank, but you don't dare write a check over X amount because they'll come looking for you. And so, before we start commanding God, we need to have something in the spiritual bank. And that means in the morning, when whatever time you have to get up and go to work, you set your mind to say, you know what, I'm going to put a little investment in the bank this morning. So I set my clock, and I don't know what your pastor teaches. I'm not here to tell you. I'll let him take care of that. Set your clock a little bit earlier than what you would normally do in just to rush into work or wherever you're going. But put it a little bit earlier, and you know what? You can begin to make an investment in heaven so that one day you can come reach a point and say, okay, God, I put my time in. I've had my day, God. It's time for you to work in my behalf. You can't do God that way. You go to that book right there. What Moses tell him? He said, let me tell you something, God. If that's the way you feel about it, just take me in a whole mess. They ain't going to do it that way. And so there's places in God that we can reach. Now, that takes a while. I will give you that much. But if you'll start learning to give God some time and give him some, because you know yourself, if you never call Aunt Josie but one time a year when you want that pecan pie, and she knows when the phone rings what you're wanting, you feel like a sheep killing dog. But now, about once a month, you call Aunt Josie, hey, just checking on your health, see how things going, looking forward to Christmas time and that pecan pie. And you do that every month. I'm going to tell you something. When you finally make that phone call, she'll be glad to give you that pie. Why? You made an investment into her life. And so prayer is just a little bit like that. We can go to God and ask him for some things, but if we're not putting something back in the bank back there, spending some time with him, we really, somehow or another, don't have a foot to stand on. That's the reason the Holy Ghost moves around this place right here. And I know there's other folks, please don't misunderstand me, but this good man and this woman right here have put their time in with God, and God's responding to that, and you good folks' prayer. And thank you for your prayer and your attentiveness. Thank you for every bit of it. I'm not knocking any of it, but I know if you're like me, you can put a little bit more time into it. I know I can. I try, but I do know I can put a whole lot more time into it. But he said something down through there in that verse of scripture. He said, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So if we'll begin to learn his ways, how he thinks, how he acts, what he does, what he wants, we can be pleasing to him and we'll get it. You know, Proverbs says it like this in chapter 16, says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of people that be going to a church today or has went to a church today, and it seems to be the right thing to do. They're headed down a pathway, it appears to be. But, you know, I've got a saying, and you've heard it before, practice makes perfect. And I kind of back up just a little bit when I realize that is true. But if you're practicing the wrong way, you may not ever get to the right way. And so you can't just keep going in the wrong direction and expect to get to where you want to be eventually. You're going to have to start learning a different way. And the Bible says that sometimes we get it in our minds, this is the right way right here. And we get it so stuck into it until we're bogged down in it. But the Bible says it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. Give me just a minute. I'm gonna make a little switch right here because I feel like I need to go just a little bit different direction at this point in time. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, this verse of scripture has, well, not just this, and there's several versions of it. I forget how many different gospels records this, but this scripture text bothers me. And I read it again. If you're a Christian and you're not reading your Bible, you ought to be. I've got a friend of mine who is a preacher, stands for everything good. I promise you, the man is just casually one day testifying or something. I said something about reading the Bible through many times. And later, Elder, he admitted to me he had never read the Bible all the way through. Now, I understand some of that is not the most interesting reading. I understand that. When you get down to begats and begats and begats, I understand every bit of it. But there is some stuff stuck down through there that wouldn't hurt you to read. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read in verse number 11. Start reading in verse number 11. He said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand. This is the part of the scripture that just bugs me. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Now, my God, we've already talked about how merciful and how loving he is, and he is every bit of that. And the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's his desire. That's his main goal for coming as a man upon this earth, to give a sacrifice so that you and I could have our sins washed away. And so then when I read these scriptures right here, it just gets me, because it seems to me like he's trying to withhold a little bit from them so they could not. You read it yourself and see what it says. That seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing is going in their ears, but they're not understanding it. And then he adds the clincher, as far as I'm concerned, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It just buffaloes me. You know, he began to tell them, and he does right down through there somewhere. But that bothers me when I see that. And when I begin to read and study, I must have another another instance there. There was a word that was used that got my attention, and the word was without. Somehow I know that everybody was in the congregation, but there were some that outside of the church. Because just being inside the building does not necessarily make you a saint of God. Does not necessarily make you a child of God. Does not necessarily get you headed on your way to heaven. because you are somewhat, and we don't want to separate, and this good pastor and his wife and all this church family never does. I've never seen them pull a cold shoulder to anybody. They welcome everybody that comes in and makes you feel comfortable. Thank God for people like that. So they don't make you feel like you're not part of the bunch. But at the same time, when I see Jesus, he was teaching them in parables of things. And then the disciples would come say, would you explain this to us so we could understand it? And so he would tell them what the scripture he was talking about. But then he tells them, he said, I tell it to them in parables so that even though they're sitting there and they're hearing it, they don't understand it. And even though they're sitting there and seeing what's going on, they can't quite perceive what's happening. And the word that was used was without. In other words, and I got to looking up and looking around just a little bit, and it, without is basically, I'll just put it this way, not part of the bunch. It could be outside the building, but those people were right around wherever he was at teaching, but they were not part of. And that bothers me because seemingly Jesus was separating out a group of people that, I don't know how to explain it. Pastor can get up here and explain it in a minute. But he just appears that he's not interested whether they have truth or not. And that is not true. I understand that. But as I begin to look and I begin to dig, and Isaiah talks about it. He said it right over in Isaiah. He said, they're going to hear it, but their ears are dull and they just can't quite hear what's going on. And I've come to talk to somebody tonight. You can hang around the church too long. Yeah. You can be here with the Holy Ghost moving like it's been moving in the house tonight. And you can still be on the outside and not on the inside. And when that time comes, you're not learning the ways of God that God wants you to learn. And when that time comes, you're going to be on the outside. Pastor gets up here. I tell you, I could just feel, I don't even remember what he was preaching here, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But he got into it. And I understand some things sometimes just kind of hits a block in our minds. I understand that. But as he began to teach, and I wish I could put it all back together, but I could feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. And it was so far deeper than what we were grasping and getting a hold to. And sometimes he can get up and begin to preach to us and teach to us. And if we're not part of the people, we're not going to grasp what he's talking about. And we're going to be left on the outside. Jesus had 12 disciples. But if you'll pay attention, there was 3 with him most of the time. Kind of an inner circle. I dug around in my mind and looked and studied and scratched and really couldn't. But what it appears to me like is that if there's somebody, the Bible tells me, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And so people that come into the house of God and they see and they feel a touch of the Holy Ghost has been in the house tonight. And if you walk back out that door and say there ain't nothing to an apostolic Pentecostal church, you will not be able to say that truthfully unless you're the block in your life, because the Holy Ghost is here working and a pulling and a drawing at your heart and your spirit. And only the ones that are so dull of hearing that they cannot understand what's being said. But you know what? Oh, my God. I think about a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Jewish man. He was on the outside for sure. But my Bible says he and his family loved God. They prayed daily. They gave alms to the people. He was doing his part. He knew this is what I got to do to be pleasing to God. He was doing everything he could. Right. One morning, woke probably during prayer time, something appeared to him. Hey, your prayers, your alms has come up as a memorial. Some of us, God help us, we're satisfied in our relationship with God. But Brother Cornelius, when that angel, whatever it was, showed up and began to talk to him, he said, here's what you're to do. And he gave him directions. He told him, and he'll come tell you words that you must do. Cornelius, my own little peanut brain bouncing around in what little skull I got. God told him, I'm going to tell you what else you need to do. You know, Brother Crosswhite, most of the time we don't want to hear nothing else. God, I'm giving everything I can give. I'm doing everything I already can do. And you and Brother Crosswhite is going to tell me I need to do this and I need to do that. That preacher going to come preach to me that I need to put a little more time in prayer. I'm doing everything I can do. But not Brother Cornelius. If Peter would have showed up and said, well, Cornelius, from now on you need to pray another hour a day, I believe Brother Cornelius would have done it. Whatever he was told, because there was an excitement in him. He had had a visitation, and he was going to find out a little bit more information that he needed in his relationship with God. And I can see him, and as he's sitting and probably not watching his watch because he didn't have a Rolex at that time. But anyway, he said, man, they've been gone for this many hours. He said, they ought to just about be back. And I could just see him sitting on the edge of his chair and just couldn't wait till everything come in. And every time the breeze, the wind would rattle the door latch, he'd jump up. Oh, there they are. And he'd go running toward the door. Oh, it was just a wind. And he settled back down again. Why? He was expecting a word from God. What do I come to church expecting? Just going to church again, hear pastor preach again? Brother Cornelius was reaching for everything God had for him. That's what made the difference. And I'm telling you tonight, you can be on the outside right now, but if there's a hunger on the inside of your soul, it's God, this life is really not what I want. I look at these people running and jumping and carrying on like they are. That's interesting to me. They seem to be happy and they seem to have peace and joy. God, that's something I want. God can work with that. God can work with that. But those that are hanging around the church for too long, and some of them might have a spouse in church or a friend or a family. God's going to give me a little special privilege. It's an individual walk, folks. It's an individual walk. My wife can be as holy and righteous as all get out, and I live like the devil. And when she goes to heaven, I'm going to hell. It's an individual walk. But I sometimes wonder how people, my wife has two sisters still living. And it's beyond me. Their dad was a minister and preached to them for years. And they've been in and out of church for years. But right now it's just all mixed up. And their lives are so tangled up. And I kind of wonder if they're thinking, well, my daddy was this and mine. And so God's going to. It don't work that way.
That's right.
I can't understand anything else what they're thinking unless they don't understand the Word of God at all and they've been in and around it all their lives. Hanging around an apostolic Pentecostal church is the most dangerous thing you can do unless you're hungry. I understand you're not gonna, when you walk through these doors and you see this cavorting and going on, as you might would call it, I know sometimes there's a question in your mind, what got into these people? And so there's not an understanding of that. But I can guarantee you one thing. If you'll let a hunger rise up on the inside of you and says, God, I don't know what they got, but I believe a little of it do me some good too. I can tell you something. God will work the rest of it out in your life. Oh, God. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. You may stand with me tonight. I'm done. But somehow or another, oh God, hanging around on the outside, you're not going to see the fulfillment of the word of God. Hanging around out there, you're not going to feel the presence of God. But you get up here where it's going on at. These young men got it prayed down, worshiped down. These young ladies, you get up here around the front, you can't help but feel the touch and the move of God. Hallelujah. Sister, if you'll come to the piano, somebody come to the piano. Hanging around on the outside, it's the most scary thing you can do. Because Jesus looked at them and realized what was going on. They were just there, and there one time he called their hand. Oh, you're just here for the miracles. You're here for the bread and the fish. That's all you're here for. But if there's something on the inside tonight that's pulling at your spirit, God's got an answer for you tonight. You don't have to wait to another service. God's got an answer for you tonight. God's got ways of reaching out into our lives sometimes. We can be so far away from thinking about Him and about the things of God. And all of a sudden a little issue will come into our life and something will happen. And we find ourselves sitting on a pew and God is touching our lives. You know why? Because He loves you. He wants to work in your life. He's still not willing that any should perish. I'm going to tell you that. He's still not willing that any should go to hell. And He makes sure that every man and woman has an opportunity. Tonight's your chance. Tonight's your chance. If there's anything down on the inside saying, God, I like what I feel. I'm not going to be an outsider. I'm going to be on the inside of it, God. Holy Ghost is talking to you right now, ma'am. Holy Ghost is talking to you, sir. You don't have to understand. Poor Cornelius, when he walked in there, when Peter walked in there, and he just began to open up, began to preach the word of God to him. Cornelius didn't understand what was going on, but the first thing you know, his hands was in the air. He was worshiping God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be full of the Holy Ghost tonight. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Come, lay your burdens over on Him. Lay your burdens on Him tonight. If you don't have any idea how or what, God, I need some help. Let Him work in your life. He cares. He cares. Jesus. Ones that are heavy load, burdened down, don't understand what's going on, give them to Him right now. Step back from it and acclaim the promises of God. God bless you. Learn of me, Jesus says. There's some things He expects of me. And then he'll take care of the things after that. But we want him to take care of them first sometimes. And then we'll give ourselves to him. It don't work that way. You have to give yourself to him.
You laid it down in burden. Come trade it tonight. There's a trade-in for you. There's a yoke that is easy. There's a life that is better. Come on, you're tired of being burdened, shackled down with heaviness, misery, and being a loser. Come make a change tonight. Come on, he's here. He's here. He's here.
Jesus, he's a person. Take me back, dear Lord. sometimes I fail. Oh, and I'm not proud of it. But I've got no reason to quit. I've got no reason to quit. Oh, but 100 reasons why I must go on.
Give the Lord a hand tonight for his power. What an exchange God has given us in a burden of life for his yoke, and his yoke will make a difference. Amen. Praise God. Tina, what happened tonight? She received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise for the power of his Spirit. Come on, you ought to thank God for what he's done for your sister. Oh, you ought to thank God tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. We're so thankful for the power and the proof that God has, amen, in his word. Amen. We're worshiping God for victory, for joy. Amen. What God is doing, amen. I'm telling you. What an exchange God has. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Bolton. Amen. For obeying the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. We're so blessed tonight for the Spirit of God. Amen. Sister Coley, where art thou? I need Sister Coley to come. Let me tell you, where's Brother Wesley? Okay. Brother, Sister Wesley and Brother Coley are part of our... I'm backwards. Sister Coley and Brother Wesley are part of our SALT team that represent about 25 of our young people. They're part of the student leadership team. And